Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello, welcome to our show. I'm Lady Carolyn.
I'm Elder Clayton Evans.
And tonight our show's topic is Hope Does Not Retract, Love Does Not React. But before we get started, we're going to have some prayer so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen.
Amen. Our Father and our God, we come before you now, dear Heavenly Father, with a humble heart. And we just ask you, dear Heavenly Father, that you let the Spirit of Truth dwell with us right now, Father God. And we ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you help us to speak from the heart, dear Heavenly Father. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. We say we pray.
Amen. And again, our topic is Hope Does Not Retract, Love Does Not React. We will be discussing the importance of keeping our vows sacred and understanding that when we do not acknowledge that we made a covenant with God, we begin operating on self-will instead of operating in the love that God ordains. Not putting things asunder is established in our hearts when we keep in mind the task of keeping our vows to each other no matter what. When we are going through difficult times with each other, we need to be able to retract. We need to be able to recant those vows wholeheartedly. Excuse me, I'll read that over. When we are going through difficult times with each other, we need to be able to recant those vows wholeheartedly instead of trying to retract them. We have to stop reacting negatively toward one another and remember to respond according to God's word that says we must learn to love one another as he has loved us. Being able to get to the other side of what the enemy throws at us consists of us having faith and establishing the hope that love endures and never fails. It is imperative that we learn these things so that we can consistently operate in love. Amen. And tonight we're coming out of the book of Galatians, Chapter 5, verse 22 through 23 in the Message Bible. And the word is, but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needed to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. And that's the word of God.
For the people of God, thanks be unto God.
Amen. And the word react means act against or in opposition to, and the word retract means to say that something you said or wrote is not true or correct, such as an offer or a promise, like our vows. Amen. And this topic, like I was sharing with my husband, is something that we can definitely relate to in our relationship and our struggles in our marriage, because one of the things that happened to us is that we did not keep our vows. And understanding that those vows are a covenant with God, and covenants cannot be broken, should not ever be forcibly broken. When God says that what he put together should not be put asunder, he's talking about us. He said, no man can put asunder. He's talking about us, you know, and our relationship with each other and learning how to operate in love instead of operating in self-will is one of those tasks that we have to keep in mind, because when we go back to those fleshly desires, you know, and trying to have selfish gain, and it usually puts, when we're talking about not retracting hope, you know, keeping hope established, keeping hope alive is very important in a relationship. And love does not react. Love responds. Love endures, love perseveres, love never fails. And it's hard to have those things in mind when we're opposing one another, when we're antagonizing one another, when we're not on the same team anymore. You know, when one person believes that the other person is wrong or not suitable, or we feel so hurt by the actions of another. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we've definitely been learning, especially in this ministry, about, you know, the trying to dispel the hurt people mentality. Because it's a mentality that we're holding on to as an excuse. You know, that gives us justification and rationalization to continue doing what we've always done, which is hurt other people, forgetting that we're actually responsible for our actions, not for people's actions against, because God said treat people as we would have them to treat us, not like they treat us, you know. Amen.
I think that the hurt people mentality is a survival technique. And some it's a mindset that a lot of people retreat to when they feel like they really have no other means of dealing with the situation. So they retaliate instead of respond. They really kind of abandon that hope and just look into themselves to try to make sure that you know, they don't get hurt. And that kind of mindset is very destructive too, because it's nobody wins, you know. You just got two hurt people hurting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no love or hope in that, you know. So it takes a renewed mindset to understand, you know, what love really is, because we hurt each other. But that, you know, like you said, an earlier broadcast that we have, you know, a lot of people rely on those old survival skills in order to navigate through life. And you can't put, like the Bible says, you can't put new wine in old wine skins. You know, it's not going to work. So everything needs to be new. You just have to have a whole new mindset in trying to deal with your emotions and the hurts and the pain so that you can move forward.
And understand that those hurts and those pains are going to come in relationships, because learning anything new, if you've never been through it before, learning things can cause us to have some pain, because we're not used to change. You know, and being able to develop those open-mindedness, you know, understanding powerlessness, understanding another person's attitudes, behaviors, those things that feel so different to us, that's change. And sometimes change hurts. And we need to be able to understand that it's not the person that's hurting us, you know, it's those changes. And our inability to accept those changes. Because any time that we start looking at ourselves and understanding that, you know, if I have an issue with what's going on, it's me. I need to figure out, why do I have an issue with that? If you being you and you doing what you do or doing what you always did, what makes me believe that I can change that or fix that or correct that? Who makes me the God in your life besides what's up in my head, you know? And that's a painful thing. That's a real painful thing, because whenever we get out of position to think that we are much more than other person, because a lot of times that's what we do in relationships when we get hurt, we start thinking that now is a teaching moment. You know, I need to be the one to correct you. I need to be the one to tell you what it is that you need to be doing that's right. Even though my understanding needs to be directed toward, am I doing everything that's right?
I think we all have that grown folk mentality too. You know, I'm grown and you really can't tell me nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I've been raised once. and raise me again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a fallacy because of the simple fact that we all can learn, no matter how old we are, you know, how perfect we think we are, you know. And when you stop to allow yourself to have an open mind to change, you stop to grow, you know. You stunt your growth at that point, you know, and you put boundaries around yourself where you really can't move forward or better yourself as an individual. And I think that we should strive, especially in a relationship, to be better to know how to accept change, because that's what's going to move you forward, you know. As a couple, marriage, whatever the relationship may be. But once you allow those things that do challenge you to make you, you know, close up, then there's no way to really get any kind of understanding of where it is that, you know, I mean, any relationship could go as far as you want it. But if you allow yourself just to be, you know, a lot of people, like I used to be, you know, this is me, you know, take it or leave it,
right.
You know. But by doing that, you know, it's like putting up a stop sign, you know, because I'm not willing to change. I'm not willing to take that chance to explore other possibilities of how to better myself.
It is one of the enemy's biggest lies that he keeps us focusing on when we say, this is just me. This is just how I am. He wants us to believe that. He does not want us to change. He wants us to stay stagnated in those attitudes and behaviors and beliefs because, like you said, we can't move forward. We can't operate in love. We can't do what God's will is. We can't do anything that's right once we stand on that belief.
That's so true. You know, but if you anchor to hope, you know, it won't allow those little idiosyncrasies to let you go out your lane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll help keep you focused and keep you steadfast so that you can be able to be more plausible, more flexible, you know, and allow people to help you.
Okay.
A lot of time if you're stubborn-minded, you're not going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to stay stagnated because ain't nobody tell you nothing.
And I think that we really need to learn how to accept that help from each other, because I know that when we were going through, it was hard for you to tell me, you know, what I needed to do or how you viewed me, and for me to take it without judgment or criticism, without seeing it as judgment or criticism. And the same thing with you.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't receive the information from me. And a lot of times we can get the same information that we've been trying to feed each other. We get it from somewhere else, you know, and now it's revelation. Now it sounds good, you know, but we heard this information before at home. And a lot of times we need to be able to hear, you know, have an ear to hear each other, because the people that you live with are the people that see all this stuff. You know, they get to know you without the mask, you know, without the Showtime experience, you know, without being dressed up in every movement or everything that you're doing, so they can tell you who the real you are. You know, so that you can see you as other people see you, especially the person that you're involved with, and they can help you.
And I think that kind of transparency helps you to be real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be yourself and be authentic in who you are. Because a lot of times we want to try to put on airs, you know, try to be more than we are. You know, I mean, it's nothing with trying to better yourself, but you gotta be who you are. You gotta be true to your own self before you can be real with anybody else. You know, and a lot of times we fool ourselves into thinking that, you know, we're somebody that we're not. So, and
try to live in that.
Yeah, I've come to realize with me that, you know, I want to find out where my divine position is, you know, in accordance with God, who he made me to be, who he created me. You know, we had mentioned that fruit earlier. He told me you had thought about me, but
mm-hmm.
I was listening to a program, and the person that was speaking was saying that our fruit is not for us. You know, it's for other people, you know. And just like a tree, you know, a fruit tree where it grows, it produces its fruit. It's for those that come and pick that fruit,
mm-hmm.
nourish them. And it's the same way in relationships. So you can't have fruit and not give it away. You know, it serves no purpose, you know. And that's what our love and our patience and our gentleness and our kindness is to be given away,
right.
You know, so that other person can benefit from what God has given us, you know. So, and I felt that, I thought that was really important because a lot of times people just have a tendency to not want to really share their lives. They pick and choose what it is that they want to give
mm-hmm.
people. You know, instead of just letting the love that God gave them flow.
Right.
Because that's what he gives it to us for. That's what he gives us every day, you know. So I thought that was very profound, you know, that a lot of people, you know, feel that it's only for Sundays at church.
Mm-hmm.
You put on your Sunday, you put on your little churchy act, you know, but when you come out, you know, then you resort to those fleshly ways of dealing with people in life, and that's not really how we're supposed to live,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I was just reading something about that a little earlier today about the difference, you know, being in church versus being outside the church, and you are so right, it's a good word, because we do put on that persona, you know, that, you know, we at our best, you know, in church and around our church people, but then we get from around the church and the church people, quote unquote, then we become these other people, you know. And God is everywhere.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. He should be represented at all times. We shouldn't have an 11 to 1 service with God or for God.
Or be a closet Christian,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah,
and then we come home and act the fool,
you know, because we used to do that.
Yeah.
We used to go to church and sit up in church, you know, and act like a couple, you know. I wasn't acting like no couple though, because I sit up in there upset, you know. But then we come home and it's still the same warpath, you know.
Because it's the outward appearance of what's going on the inside. That's what our continence is.
Right.
You know, and I remember many a day when I'm sitting out there, you know, and I guess I don't have a good poker face, you know. And our choir members were the type, when they see it, they will come out to you, you know, and as you administer to you, you know, and pretty much just call your bluff. You know, and
they did that for you.
Yeah, I'll tell you, this happened to me, and I've seen them do it to other people too.
Okay.
But the thing of it is, you know, that, you know, I learned to try to deal with those issues before I go to church, if at all possible. You know, because when you go to the house of the Lord, you know, you should be there with the mindset to serve Him and worship Him. But when your life is in turmoil, it's hard, you know, to really receive what it is that God has for you when you got all the enemy, got all this other stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sitting next to you and you're going to give me an elbow and, you know, I'm going to take something and smack you upside the head. But we're sitting up in church,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And that's real with a lot of people, you know. And to walk around with those things and not really deal with them is really not healthy. It's really not a healthy way to live. But when we learn to sit down, get everything out in the open, and then look for a solution. And I think you had said years ago, you know, we had so many problems, but we never sit down to find a solution.
Mm-mm. All we did was kept recanting the problems.
It never got resolved.
Mm-hmm.
It never got taken care of. So we still had those things lingering in our lives instead of really sitting down and dealing with them.
Yeah, it's called that the perpetual argument. You know, the argument was always the same. No matter what the situation was that brought the same argument back up, the words was always the same. The feeling was always the same. The hurt was always the same. You know, and I was thinking while you were talking about how it was still a setup you know, God was still setting this thing up, because even though we were not focusing on the relationship that we had, we were still trying to get closer to God, because God kept sending me to church. You would leave me at home and go to church and, you know, sneak around quietly, getting dressed, make sure you didn't wake me up, and God would wake me up, you know, and I get dressed and I'm fighting all the way there, you know, with God. I'm telling him I don't want to go, and if I go, I'm not going to sit next to you, and I don't want to see you. I'm sitting in the back of the church, and God always sent me straight to the church and made me sit down right beside you, no matter how I felt or what it was doing to me, you know, what I was trying to think and whatever my plan was, you know. And he did that consistently, you know, for years. We struggled with that, you know. And I can remember, you know, just having that feeling that, you know, I didn't want to be there. I did not want to be there, and I definitely didn't want to be next to you. But God always set it up that that's where we were at the same time, hearing the same word, you know, in the same place in his house, you know, where he dwelled. And even though, you know, many times we left that church and, you know, we left in separate cars and we got home at different times and, you know, we came back in, the house was still separated, everything was still divided, you know. But all the time God was still planting something. He was still planting. He was still pruning, you know. And it was a setup. It was a setup. So we still have to be reminded that even though we feel like we don't have hope, God always is hope, you know. That faith that he talks about, you know, even when you're going through whatever it is that you're going through, if you can pull up any amount of hope, any amount of hope, hope is a wish for a better outcome. If you just believe that things can get better some kind of way, because there's a reason that we still stuck together, you know. We are stuck.
Yeah, but we try to retract that hope, though. We really do. We try to retract it. We try to move away from it. And, you know, I even try to run from it. But the bottom line is that, you know, love is something that is bigger than most of us. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And with God in it, and it was the fact that we were still going to church, you know, despite what was going on. You know, I was drawn to the fact that altar was the place that I needed to be, you know. I needed to be amongst the people of God, and I needed that word in order to just stay, you know, to stay hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't do it on my own. And it seemed like even on my best day, I would always do something or say something that would sabotage, you know. It would never last more than a little while, you know. It would always come up, and we'd be right back at that same juncture with those same feelings, those same words, and them hurtful experiences that we kept coming back to, you know. But I think that hope helped us move past that, you know, and to find love for real, you know, and that's what this love walk is all about, you know. Instead of going back to that place of hurt, moving forward and walking in love on a daily basis. And it's something that has to start anew, you know, just like God gives us new mercies and new grace every day. He gives us another chance for a new love walk. So I thank God for that.
Me too. We have to do that for each other, because when you're going through with someone, somebody has to stop. Somebody has to stop. Somebody has to make a conscious decision to stop doing everything and anything that's contradictory to what it is that God wants us to do when he talks about us loving one another.
You got to do it on purpose.
You got to do it, and you got to do it consistently.
Every day.
You know, your talk, you got to match up with your walk. You know, I was sharing with a lady earlier today that, you know, I had to learn how to be quiet. You know, just, and I stopped talking to you. I stopped saying anything to you. And I remember one time I didn't talk to you or William for 30 days in a row consecutively. because both of y'all had just, you know, you remember my saying was that y'all would just sucker punch me. That one behind up, you do something, I get halfway decent, you know, my feelings, and then William would do something, you know. And I just got tired, and I just looked at both of y'all like, okay, God, I can't do it. And I just started just walking around the house. Anything that was really important that you asked me, I would say yay or nay and keep it moving. And that worked because I found out that one of the things that happened during that time was that y'all was forced to talk to each other. And that was during the time that the two of y'all were tripping with each other too, you know, but y'all was forced to talk to each other because I was no longer in the middle. And it also helped me to see you, you know, trying to figure out what was it that you could start doing different so that I would start back talking to you, you know, because sometimes we can talk too much for too long saying the same thing until it just becomes repetitive babble, you know, and that's all we have in the house is that same tower of babble where don't nobody really understand what nobody's saying. And That's how I feel like God helped me to be able to learn how to appreciate not having to open up my mouth all the time, not having to correct things, not having to oversee things, you know, not stepping out of my position or my place, being able to learn how to be meek, mild, gentle, you know, like a woman should be instead of, you know, always, you know. And you know, if we can get to the point to understand that a lot of things that we do that does not have anything to do with love, if we can stop those behaviors, because everybody don't want to hear you. Everybody don't want you to be the one that always feel like you know what's right. You know, we got to get to a state of humility in love, where we understand that we don't know everything and we can't do everything. And it's not necessary that we even try.
That is so true. You know, and if we let, you know, God lead us and direct us, then we really don't have to, you know, do a whole lot of talking. But we do need to talk and communicate, but we need to do it in love and with kindness. You know, a lot of times, you know, when we get in that mold, you know, where we have that intense fellowship, you know, we have a tendency to say things that are unkind and you know, I just thank God that now there is a place of peace in our life and serenity where we can come to each other, talk to each other in a loving manner, and get much more accomplished, you know what I'm saying? And to me, that's the way a relationship should be, you know. There's always an open door for us, you know, when it comes to decision making or the choices that we make, because we can come to each other and sit down and discuss life, you know, without having a hidden agenda or having our own selfish, you know, desires and needs, you know, and blocking the other person out, you know. Yeah. So I thank God for that transparency and that openness that we have now in our relationship.
And I thank God also. And I really appreciate being able to minister with you today.
Amen.
And your prayers out.
Father God, we give you thanks and praise right now, Father God, for just being able to come and minister to Heavenly Father. We pray that what we share together will help build this marriage, dear Heavenly Father, and help us to go to even higher heights in you, Father God. And we give you the praise, honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And again, we want to thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again. And just remember that no matter what the situation is, the circumstance or the problem,
the lesson is always love.